All right, so buckle up, everyone, because this week's AI news is a wild ride. We're talking February 2nd through the 9th. And let me tell you, from billion-dollar deals to AI that's building its own computer chip, it's a lot to unpack.
Yeah, it really does feel like we're getting a glimpse into the future, and maybe a little bit of a warning, too.
Oh, definitely some warning signs in there. Okay, so let's start with the elephant in the room, or maybe the giant brain in the room is more accurate. Google is pouring 75 billion with a B into AI this year. What's the game plan here? Just trying to outspend everyone.
Well, they've got to do something. Remember, they just made Gemini 2.0 their most powerful AI available to everyone. So maybe this investment is about staying ahead of the curve, making sure they can keep pushing the limits as these AI models get even more complex.
So, like a preemptive strike, like, hey, everyone, we're Google and we're not messing around.
Something like that. Making AI accessible while also pushing the boundaries. It's a powerful combination. But Google's not the only one making waves. DeepSeek is reportedly going all in on building massive infrastructure.
How massive are we talking?
Well, the rumors are they're using 50,000 NVIDIA GPUs.
50,000! That's insane.
Yeah, it's a whole different strategy. DeepSeek seems to be betting on raw power, while Google's going for a more, I don't know, adaptable approach.
But is that even sustainable? I mean, the energy costs alone for 50,000 GPUs.
Right, that's the big question.
Okay, well, while we're talking about shaking things up, there's this research team that just blew my mind. They managed to train an AI model that's on par with OpenAI's in just 30 minutes.
And for less than 50 bucks.
Yeah! Talk about democratizing AI development. Suddenly, anyone can play in the big leagues.
Exactly. It's not just about the big companies anymore. This could be a huge boost for smaller companies, startups, even individual researchers.
It's kind of exciting, right?
Oh, absolutely. It's like the Wild West of AI all over again.
Okay, but let's bring it back down to earth for a minute. What about AI in our daily lives? All this stuff with Amazon's next-gen Alexa has got me wondering if they finally cracked the code on a truly intelligent assistant.
Well, they're definitely talking a big game. More natural conversations, better understanding of context if they pull it off.
I mean, think about it. Amazon already knows basically everything about our shopping habits, our preferences.
Right.
If they can actually integrate that into Alexa in a way that feels seamless,
That could be a real game changer.
no more repeating yourself a million times or getting stuck in those weird conversational loops.
Hopefully. We'll see if they can deliver. But Amazon's not the only one with big plans. Apple is reportedly investing $100 billion, that's billion with a B, again, into smart glasses.
Are they really going to try to make this happen where Google Glass, well,
Yeah, where Google Glass crashed and burned.
exactly.
It's a big gamble for sure. Apple's betting they can make smart glasses not just functional, but something people actually want to wear.
And let's be honest, if anyone can pull that off, it's probably them. But think about the implications. Imagine having real-time information overlaid on your vision, controlling your devices with a gesture.
It's like something out of a sci-fi movie. But we have to think about the downsides, too. What about privacy? Who has access to the data these glasses collect?
Yeah, the potential for misuse is kind of scary. And while we're talking about the dark side of AI, there's this legal battle in India. A group of news organizations is suing OpenAI, claiming they used their content to train ChatGPT without permission.
Yeah, this case could have huge implications. It raises fundamental questions about copyright and ownership in the age of AI.
Who owns the data? Who gets to profit from it?
And what rights do content creators have? It's uncharted territory, legally speaking.
Okay, one more slightly terrifying topic before we move on. Google lifting its ban on using AI for weapons and surveillance.
That's one that has a lot of people worried.
To say the least. Proponents say it's about national security, but.
But the potential for misuse is huge. Autonomous weapon systems, constant surveillance. It's like a dystopian nightmare waiting to happen.
And speaking of doing things that maybe they shouldn't, Meta might actually stop developing what they consider risky AI systems.
Is that a genuine ethical stance, or are they just trying to control the narrative?
It's hard to say. Are they really worried about the dangers? Or are they just trying to stifle competition? That's a tough one.
It's a tangled web, for sure. But that's what makes this field so fascinating, right?
It's not just about algorithms and data. It's about power, control, and ultimately the future of humanity.
And right now, it feels like that future is hanging in the balance. You know, before we get too deep into the existential dread, let's lighten things up a bit.
Oh, you mean like AI predicting the Super Bowl?
Yeah, exactly. It's a thing now, you know?
No, I saw that. But how does that even work? Are we really supposed to trust a robot with our Super Bowl bets?
Well, I mean, maybe not trust, but it's definitely interesting stuff. They're using AI to look at all sorts of data, team stats, player performance, even things like, real-time game dynamics.
So it's more than just picking a winner, then.
Oh yeah, much more. It's about like understanding the game itself at a deeper level.
And coaches are actually using this.
Some of them, yeah. They're using AI to analyze their opponents, find weaknesses, even tailor their own game plan.
Wow, that's kind of amazing.
And it's not just football. AI is popping up in all sorts of sports, baseball, basketball, tennis, you name it, analyzing players, predicting outcomes, even like trying to prevent
It
injuries.
makes you wonder if we'll ever have like robots in the NBA.
Right, or the World Cup.
Speaking of robots, did you see that video of NVIDIA's AI teaching robots to move like athletes?
Oh, yeah. Kind of freaky, kind of cool.
It's crazy how fast things are moving. Like just a few years ago, that would have been science fiction.
Totally. But it's not all fun and games, right? That story about Elon Musk's DOGE AI analyzing government data.
Yeah, not a fan of that one. That's getting into some pretty murky territory.
Yeah, there are a lot of questions about transparency, accountability, Like, if a privately owned AI is messing around with government data, who's in control?
It's scary to think about.
It is. We need to figure this stuff out, like, now, before it's too late. We need rules, regulations, something.
Agreed. Okay, before we spiral too far down this rabbit hole, let's talk about some good news. What about the stuff with AI and cancer detection?
Right. There's some incredible potential there. AI can analyze scans, detect patterns, even like help doctors diagnose cancer earlier.
That could literally save lives.
Absolutely. AI can be a powerful tool for good. It can help us tackle some of the biggest challenges we're facing: climate change, poverty, even education.
It's important to remember that, right? We tend to focus on the scary stuff, but
There's a lot of good that can come from this technology.
as long as we use it responsibly. Speaking of which, the EU is stepping up their game with this new investment in open source AI.
Yeah, they're putting $56 million towards building a European alternative to the U.S. giants.
That's pretty significant. What's the thinking there? Just competition?
I think it's more than that. The EU has been pushing for ethical AI, transparency, all that. Open source AI could be a way to achieve that,
To make sure that AI benefits everyone, not just a handful of powerful companies.
Makes sense.
It's a nice idea, but is it realistic? Can they really compete with the likes of Google and OpenAI?
Well, we'll have to see, won't we?
Yeah.
But it's definitely a step in the right direction.
Okay, so we've talked about the good, the bad, the downright terrifying. But where does this all leave us? Like, what are the big takeaways from all this AI chaos? Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground here. Billion-dollar investments, robots playing sports, AI designing its own computer chips. Where does it all lead?
Oh, it's clear that the pace of development is accelerating rapidly. Remember that research team that replicated OpenAI's model in just 30 minutes?
Yeah, for under $50. Crazy, right?
Completely changes the game.
Yeah.
So, what do you think? What's been the biggest development this week?
It's hard to choose just one, but that thing about AI designing chips that are too complex for us to even understand, that's got to be up there.
It is a bit mind-blowing, isn't it? We've basically created something that surpasses our own comprehension.
And what does that even mean for the future, I mean?
Well, on the one hand, it's incredible. We've got this tool that can potentially solve problems we haven't even thought of yet. But
there's always a but.
Right. We're also giving up a certain amount of control. If we don't understand how it works, can we really trust it? Especially when it comes to things like critical infrastructure, national security, all that.
It's both exciting and terrifying, all at the same time.
Exactly. And that's why we need these ethical frameworks, regulations, things like the EU's AI Act, which is legally binding now.
Oh, right. What was that all about again?
Well, basically, it categorizes AI systems based on risk level. So, low risk stuff like, I don't know, spam filters, all the way up to high risk AI in healthcare or law enforcement. And those high risk systems, they face a lot more scrutiny, transparency requirements, potential bans if they're too dangerous.
So it's about making sure AI doesn't just go rogue, basically.
Yeah, that's the idea, putting some guardrails in place.
Do you think it'll be enough, though?
I mean, it's a good first step. But technology moves so fast, and regulators are always playing catch up. It's going to require a lot of collaboration. Policymakers, researchers, industry leaders, everyone working together.
Well, speaking of things that make me nervous, OpenAI's new tool that does online research for you. Have you seen that?
Oh, yeah. It's pretty impressive. Think about it. Instant access to tons of information on any topic, all synthesized and summarized for you.
Sounds amazing, but also maybe a little dangerous.
Well, yeah, there's that. It could revolutionize research, education, even journalism. But we have to be careful not to become overly reliant on it.
I can see that.
Like, if we let AI do all our thinking for us, we might lose those critical thinking skills.
Yeah.
And that makes us vulnerable to misinformation, bias, all sorts of things.
So another one of those AI dilemmas.
Exactly. It's a powerful tool, but we have to use it wisely. And that really brings us back to the central theme of everything we've talked about today, from Google's big investments to that EU AI Act we were just talking about. The choices we make now will determine what the future of AI looks like.
So what's your take? What does that future look like?
Honestly, it's impossible to say for sure, but one thing's for certain, it's going to be wild. And we're all going to be a part of it, whether we like it or not.
Deep stuff. Well, on that note, I think it's time to wrap things up. Any final words of wisdom for our listeners out there?
Stay curious, stay informed, and most importantly, stay engaged. The future of AI is being written right now, and we all have a role to play.
Couldn't have said it better myself. To everyone listening, thanks for joining us on this whirlwind tour of the AI world. We'll be back next week with another deep dive into all the latest developments. Until then, keep exploring, keep learning, and keep asking those tough questions.